Just plain filthy intro. I don't fucking know. You would think after like 5 years of doing this fucking podcast, I would have the intro saved on my computer and not just Casey's computer, but I don't. But you can tell by the fact I don't have the intro. It can only mean one thing. I'm left to my own devices. I don't have anybody telling me not to say stuff. I am all alone, sadly. What is up, everybody? My name is TJ from Just Plain Filthy, and it's been a little bit. We didn't get to do last episode. We normally try to do this every other week. Last week we had to skip it, scheduling conflicts and everybody being busy, and then I was on the stream and not the podcast because I didn't have the time to record a full podcast. I had nothing prepared. So it's kind of scheduling, kind of my own fault, but we're here now. We got some shit to talk about. I'm excited. Let's go. A little breakdown for you before we get into the whole meat and potatoes of this. AEW had a lot of cool things going on recently. We're going to dive into a little bit of that. NXT recently had their Halloween Havoc pay-per-view, or a premium live event, and it was dope. I'm going to talk about that. I'm going to dissect that a little bit. We have a podcast question. I have a lot of topics and themes that I want to go and do for later episodes of the stream and the podcast. I want to dive into that a little bit, and I want to let you guys know about the band that scored our most recent A+ on the stream. We're going to be playing them tonight. It's going to be fun. Normally, we start these things off with, hey, how was your week? How was your week? I'm by myself. Let me tell you about my week a little bit. For the last week or so, it was hell. I hurt my shoulder. I hurt my ankle. I was the only one working at my job in my department. The other person took the week off. And then when they came back, they took my birthday off. What a dick. So I was working by myself during the weekend on my birthday. But then I got to go to a party. And do you know what I was at that party? It was a costume party. Do you know what I was? This is a rhetorical question. I'm going to tell you anyway. I was sexy Edgar Allan Poe. I had a prominent mustache. I had a curly-haired wig parted to the sides, raised up so you can see my receding hairline. I had fishnets. It was glorious. I rocked that look, and I got way too drunk and had to open up the next day, which was, once again, hell, making me think, maybe I shouldn't drink anymore. But I'm gonna. It's inevitable. I'm gonna drink again. Besides work, I've been watching a lot of Yu-Gi-Oh! And playing a lot of Yu-Gi-Oh! Duel Links. For those who don't know, I'm a huge fan of Yu-Gi-Oh! And I've been making some sick-ass decks. And then I was like, oh, I'm gonna tweet about this. I'm gonna tweet about this awesome deck and the fact that I killed 3 different duelists in under 3 turns the exact same way, which is weird as hell. I'm typing that up. My friend goes, hey, did you know that Kanye got kicked off of Yu-Gi-Oh! And Konami servers and he can't do anything regarding that company until 2057? And I was like, I did not know that, but that's fucking hilarious. Send that asshole to the Shadow Realm for real. Oh my god. What's up with Konami finally having a spine? What's this about? And lastly, I'm working on something for social media. I'm working on multiple things for social media. I'm doing the Indie Movement Top 100 that I try to do every year now. It's a lot of research, a lot of wrestling watching, a lot of like statistics and sorting. It's a pain in the ass. But equally as pain in the ass, I was thinking about like, oh, this is one of my favorite albums. Oh, this is one of my favorite albums. Which one is more of my favorite album? And now I'm doing a whole list. I'm doing my top 10 favorite albums of all time. And I listed like 15 of them. And now I got to listen to all of them from start to finish and be like, okay, this is how many songs that I absolutely love from this. This is how many songs that I skipped. This is how many songs have like a real heavy impact on my life, and then just sort it out that way. So it's a lot of music, but like all these albums I love. So it's not really a chore. It's just finding time to listen to complete albums. I'm having fun. There's a lot of deep cuts, a lot of weird bands and albums, and a lot of things you wouldn't expect. There's not too much metal on there, honestly. But that's about 5 minutes of me talking, so let's get right into it, shall we? Wrestling, baby! Wrestling. AEW. A lot of cool things happening, a lot of things up in the air, a lot of things uncertain. Let's talk about it. I say that like I'm fucking Good Mythical Morning or some shit. I didn't want to talk about it, but things are coming out now, and I feel like I need to weigh in on this in some capacity. The whole legal dispute with the Elite, the Young Bucks, Kenny Omega, CM Punk, and AEW is just asinine right now. Like, more things are coming out that should have came out earlier if they were true, and not just some elaborate work for everybody to get all hyped on and keep the name AEW on the tongues of fucking everybody on the internet. They're saying, we're close to reaching something. CM Punk might be fired. Ace Steel was already fired. We don't know exactly what's going on with the Young Bucks, but we have a video thing where we notice that the Young Bucks are a thing. We're noticing them again. But we're fizzling them out of everything AEW on the TV. There's a video package that was like, we're celebrating that we got our trios championships. Nope. That part of history is gone. We made AEW. Then they fizzle away like the rapture's happening. Nothing ever happened. Kenny Omega wins the title. Nope, that never happened. And just more questions. But as far as CM Punk goes, some people thinking he's going to return. Some people think he's going to WWE to give this one more shot. I almost said slot, and that's not correct at all. But news came out recently. This wouldn't have happened if the Young Bucks didn't barge into my locker room, open the door, and hit my dog with the door. I thought they came in talking and scared your dog. And then you were like, hey, my dog's in here. Can you settle down? No, they hit the dog. And I don't fucking believe any of this. As much as I don't want to hit dog, if this was a key thing and he felt so strongly about it, wouldn't that have been one of the things that was brought up initially? To really just, like, help his case if this was all legit? And I don't think it is. I think they're going to bring him back with all this bad publicity. He's going to be a bad guy. He's going to be the fucking bad guy for AEW once all this stuff kind of settles down. Everyone's going to boo the shit out of him. Everyone's not going to want to work with him. He's going to have Enzo Amore heat in the back. It's going to be rough, but it's going to work. And then the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega are going to come back. They're going to address those videos and be like, yeah, because without us, there is no AEW. That's why everything's fizzling away. We are AEW. And everyone's going to be like, yeah! And they're going to be baby faces. They're not going to be asshole heels anymore. They're going to be the baby faces. We're going to have that good dynamic going. It's going to be good. It's going to be a little rough because this whole legal dispute angle has just been cringy and dumb and just a way for neckbeard armchair bookers on the internet to have something to do and have a fucking pedestal to sit on so they can down talk WWE and everything else. God damn, I hate wrestling fans. I say, as I just fucking booked out this entire thing. Whatever, call me a hypocrite, whatever. I'm excited to see exactly what is real, what's not real, how they're going to deal with all this. Because right now, it's putting the company in a very tough spot. Like, from what I know, sponsors don't really want to deal with it. Not too many people in the back are pleased with it. A lot of people in the company think this is legit, and it might be. I don't know. And they're calling CM Punk a cancer. Chris Jericho called CM Punk a cancer. A lot of people don't want him in the company anymore. That's been like the unanimous thing with AEW right now. So I don't know how much of this is just like company being like, hey, everybody, say how much you hate him because we have a plan. Or how many people are just like, yo, you suck. Literally everything you touch turns to shit. Go away. I don't know. Now, another thing that is just full of questions and everything up in the air is the role of MJF and his little crew, The Firm. As some of you might know, MJF came back at the casino ladder match after some speculation that might be the case, but nothing was set in stone. He wasn't the one to pull it down. The match was going amazing. If this whole angle didn't happen, that match might have been one of the better matches of the whole entire night. But then just a crew of people in masks come out, wreck house. Some shorter guy goes up the ladder, grabs the chip, takes off his mask, and it's Malcolm Bivens. Or Stokely Hathaway. That's his name now. And I was like, oh, I know exactly where this is going. And then music comes out, and I didn't know who that might have been, but I thought the end game was going to be MJF. Some guy comes out, gets the chip from him, walks off. End of the scene. Later on in the main event, the guy shows up, takes off his mask, cuts a promo. It's MJF. You're like, okay, now MJF is in line for the world title. This is going to happen. He's going to be a mega heel, everything. And then over the last couple weeks, he's been cutting good guy promos, face promos. He's been not wanting to cheat as much. He's been hyping up the crowd and embracing the towns that he's been in. Cutting phenomenal promos. He just cut a promo where he mocked Jon Moxley and was just like, I'm going to mash your bones, man. I'm going to destroy you. I'm going to gargle your piss. And everyone was just like, yeah, gargle his piss. Give me the old dick twist kind of thing going on. And he mocked Moxley in front of Renee, Moxley also being the world champion, and got a babyface reaction. That's how good MJF is. But then after all that, Stokely Hathaway comes out and goes, like, don't worry, boss, we'll take care of him. And MJF goes, you are not to touch him. You are not to look at him. If you do anything that makes him be less than 110% at the pay-per-view when I get my shot, you are fired. And then later on in the night, they all jump him. Every one of them jumps him. MJF is conflicted. I don't want to be a good guy, but I told them, don't touch him. He gets in there. He starts laying hands on people. Fires Stokely Hathaway. Stokely Hathaway sets everybody on him. He gets jumped. He gets put through a table. He gets possibly injured. And this whole thing is super babyface MJF. Now, listening to Busted Open, put something into perspective for me. Does anybody remember Aces and Eights from TNA Impact? And how, at the end, Bully Ray was like, don't worry, Hogan, I'm on your side. And then later on turned on him. And right after he got jumped by the whole crew that he later joined. What if this whole entire thing is just a ploy to get sympathy, establish himself as a pseudo babyface, gain the trust of Jon Moxley and all the fans, keep this eye completely off of the Malcolm Bivens thing, Stokely Hathaway, god damn it, and kind of throw their scent off the trail of, I have backup that are going to ensure my win. So once the match inevitably does happen, and you think it's going to be fair, and it looks to be fair, these motherfuckers come out. They cost John the match. They realign with MJF. And your new world champion is Maxwell Jacob Friedman. That's what I'm thinking. It makes too much sense. And he keeps saying that he is the devil himself. Don't trust him. He is a sneaky snake.
Slither the snake. I'm a sneaky little snake. Sneaky little snake.
So it just makes sense that all this would be a giant ploy. And MJF has some shit up his sleeve. There's no way he is going to be a babyface, especially how over he is as a heel. Because if he is fucking babyface, that means they're going to have to pull the trigger on somebody and make them heel. And right now, Jon Moxley as a heel makes no sense.
So, it's got to be that. It's got to be fucking that.
And last little bit of AEW news. Chris Jericho continuing his whole thing with the ROH World Championship. Another open challenge to any former Ring of Honor champion. Now, people are saying Ring of Honor World Champion. But that's not what Chris Jericho said. Chris Jericho said, I don't care if you're a tag team champion, a world champion, hell, you can be a woman's champion for all I care. Any former Ring of Honor champion, feel free to step up and face the world champion. But if we're going the route of world champions still, there's not a whole lot of things that would garner a big reaction. There really isn't. Like, low-key would work, I guess. But I think he's under contract with MLW. He's also notoriously, terrible to work with because he doesn't want to, put anybody over. And then you got, Jamie Noble, Kevin Steen, Tyler Black, and Roderick Strong all still working with WWE. And Cody Rhodes. Cody Rhodes is still working with WWE. So it can't be any of those. CM Punk, as I said, possibly leaving the company, also still injured. Adam Cole, not sure. That might be a possibility because we don't know the status of Adam Cole, but he's currently injured. They don't want Jay Briscoe on TV unless they fix that. It's not going to work out. Then you got the controversial figures that are Mike Elgin and Austin Aries. And if they don't want fucking Jay Briscoe on TV, they're definitely not going to want those two. So that really narrows it down a lot. Campy Xavier, he's dead. Nigel McGuinness? I would love that. He's cleared to wrestle now. He's cleared. But will he? Probably not. Jerry Lynn, retired. Chris Hero? He's involved with wrestling now, but he has said nothing about a match, so it's not off the table. I have no fucking clue who this could be. But that leads, other champions. Because he didn't say specifically world champions.
I have no idea.
But, oh shit, oh, I forgot some names. These are all possible. These are all very much possible. PCO. It could be PCO. It could be Homicide. It could be Christopher Daniels making his return. Hell, it could be Davey Richards. I would be okay with any one of those.
Okay, so there's hope.
There is hope. Okay.
Now I'm excited again now. Yeah, hell yeah. Fuck yeah.
Let's do it. On to the next one. I spent a lot of time on the AEW stuff, so I'm going to breeze through Halloween Havoc, give my likes, my dislikes. Not going to dive too far into it. Let's go. So, I did not watch the pre-show. And I don't really know any of the people on the pre-show, so let's skip that shit. But the first match of the night, as far as the premium live event goes, was a badass fucking match, let me tell you. Wesley versus Carmelo Hayes versus Oro Mensa versus Von Wagner versus Nathan Frazier in this whole entire match, this ladder match. I thought Nathan Frazier was going to fucking take it. He did some crazy stuff. Wesley did some crazy stuff. Von Wagner was just reckless and very unsafe. I don't know what the appeal of that guy is. Oro Mensa, I wasn't familiar with him beforehand, but he held his own. He did some pretty cool stuff. Notable things here. Nathan Frazier with a, like, weird take on a Spanish fly, landing Carmelo Hayes across his stomach on a ladder. That was crazy. Also, I haven't really been watching NXT much. This is what made me start watching it, is Carmelo Hayes' entrance. Trick Williams up in the corner doing like the hype man thing, giving a little spiel, and he says something that rhymes with ops, and then it just cuts to a small little video thing of Carmelo Hayes going, "Rest in piss to all my ops," and then just pours a little bit of his drink out, and then he comes out like a fucking badass. I was like, yo, he's been saying rest in piss on live TV? This is crazy. But after a very tumultuous year, Wesley climbs the ladder and grabs that belt. Your new North American champion is Wesley. You love to see it. This dude's dope as fuck. The second match, we saw Apollo Crews face off against Grayson Waller. And, I mean, it was nothing special. It's been pretty good build up, but the match itself, nothing to write home about. There was one spot at the end of the match, which you think would be the end. Grayson Waller just lifts him and slams him through the top of the casket. This is a casket match, by the way. And it doesn't count, technically, because you're supposed to close the lid on it, but then the lights go out. And you're like, oh shit, what could this be? Because, you know, in wrestling, lights go out, something big is going to happen. They turn back on, Paulo's gone. Paul's gone from the casket. He's not in there anymore. Just the cracked top. And then you see him walking down the ramp with a bunch of druids behind him. And they're pulling out a bigger, more sturdier, new casket. The match goes on down the thing. He gets launched out of the fucking ropes. The lid comes down. Apollo Crews picks up the win over Grayson Waller. It wasn't my favorite, and honestly, out of, like, the six matches that happened, this is probably, like, the fourth favorite match of the night, but it wasn't bad. There's no bad matches on this card, okay? It was all relatively good. The closest thing to a bad match, and this is my least favorite match on the card, was Roxanne Perez versus Cora Jade, and I mostly think I didn't like this because of how they've been portrayed so far. It's not that they're bad wrestlers, because they are great wrestlers. But Roxanne Perez has been a super goody two-shoes, and it makes it, like, not believable that she can beat anybody's ass. And then Cora Jade was goody two-shoes, and then they fucking made her into pseudo-badass, and that's not believable either. They just look like two teeny boppers just trying to smack the shit out of each other. And that's what we got. But there was some sick moves, some real good storytelling. Overall, the storytelling has been good. The wrestling has not been. And at the end, you think somebody's going to take, like, a vicious move off the fucking balcony. But you just get Roxanne running at Cora Jade. And then last minute being like, I'm going down with you. And then they're like, haha, friendship! Until they crash and burn. Wasn't nothing special. As much as I like women's wrestling, if there was a bathroom break on this show, that was the bathroom break. I apologize. Next match, however, a story that I'm not too familiar with, because, as I said before, I haven't really been watching NXT consecutively. I've watched here and there. So I don't know the whole thing between the Creed brothers, Diamond Mine, and Damon Kemp. What I did know, however, is Julius Creed is a fucking madman. He's the kind of athlete that you can go, hey, do this, and he will get it done perfectly. It'd be like, bench press this dude. Okay, we bench press this dude. Throw him into the fourth row. I'll throw him into the fourth row. Now do a 450 splash. Okay, 450 splash, perfect. We got that here. We got brutality from, like, kendo stick shots and crutch shots and chair shots and stairs and all that kind of shit. But we also got, like, peak athleticism. And while this wasn't the best match of the night, this is in the top three. And this is one that I will remember for a long time. And just the amount of satisfactory you got watching Julius Creed just slam those doors closed on the ambulance and send Damon Kemp packing and knowing that the Diamond Mine is in good hands going forward. That was a good story. I enjoyed this match very much. Now, the next part was the match portion of this cinematic thing that's been going out throughout the entire show. Mandy Rose is looking for Alba Fire. Alba Fire is one of the dumbest fucking names I have ever heard in WWE, but I digress. She's a great talent. As much as good talent as they are, the match itself sucked. The match itself was terrible. The cinematic segments of it were really good, very entertaining. JC James did not want to do anything. She was like, I'm not down with the spooky shit. I'm staying in the car. And then later, she has to get down with the spooky shit and get out of the car. She gets abducted. Okay. Gigi Dolin, fully embracing all of this. She's like, hey, nice place you got. Kicks her feet up, talking to these monsters and stuff that are inhabiting this haunted house. She's like drinking some wine, she's having laughs, everything. And then she gets her ass beat and thrown into a wall by Alba Fire, and which leaves only Mandy Rose. Mandy Rose gets abducted and brought into the performance center that they do all their shit at. That's where it went downhill. The match was not good. The cinematic stuff with no wrestling at all, that was gold. Then came the main event. And it's the main event for a fucking reason. Because this match was incredible. It was maybe a little more, but I guess allegations and stuff made them change his name. It doesn't help. Y'all motherfuckers know how Google works, right? We know who the guy is. But I digress. This match had the perfect blend of everything. You had Bron Breakker being like, I'm the champion, I need to look strong, I need to hold it down. And he did. He looked strong as fuck, beastly, spearing dudes out of their fucking boots. And then you had Ilya Dragunov, which is like, I never lost my championship, but NXT UK is not really a thing anymore. I'm coming over here, I'm taking another belt in its place. And he looked like he was going for people's heads. He needed that belt. He wanted it so badly. And JD McDonagh was like, fuck both these dudes. I will do whatever I can to get that belt. He is the crafty heel. He played his role perfectly. Even at one hand, before it hit the mat. So it was not technically a three. That was the closest fucking count that I've ever seen in my life. Holy shit. But despite my boy Ilya Dragunov throwing haymakers and headbutts and uppercuts and just dropping people on their heads and being the most intense dude in the company, it was not enough as he ate a brutal fucking spear and was put away by Bron Breakker. That match, if that match was not a testament to how much they have faith in Bron Breakker and how much they want to build him up, I don't know what will, because now the dude is a legitimate champion. He's had multiple multi-man matches, multiple big names come at him every single time. This is how you build a young champion. I'm down with it. I'm buying it. Bron Breakker is a star. I am a fan. NXT gets way too much hate for it to be this good. Only thing that I would say NXT needs to work on is their backstage segments and interviews. Those are all, like, fucking Hallmark movie bullshit. But the wrestling is good.
And now that we are done with the wrestling portion, apologies to all my non-wrestling fan listeners and friends that are checking this out. Last week, we did a three-person stream. We actually had Devin come back from the dead and help us with the Bands That Slap stream, and we had a pretty solid fucking show.
We had a band that got like a D, and I felt bad about that. But, you know, honesty has to be honest. But on that show, among all the great bands, we had one more band that got an A+. And what I want to do going forward is every time a band gets an A+, I want to play them on the podcast as an extra sort of like promotional thing of like, you guys fucking slap. Here's some extra play and extra ears for you and all that shit. So the band that got an A+, I didn't know. Devin didn't know. Mike didn't know, but they sounded familiar. They're called Exit Wounds. And so we're going to play Exit Wounds for you. So check it out. This is Exit Wounds with, I think, Heaven is Empty. Check it out. Between like hardcore and like metalcore and aspects of deathcore and stuff like that. Like, if you're into deathcore, you'd like it. If you're into hardcore, you'd like it. But if you're also not into the stuff that's like super harsh, you would also enjoy it. It's like perfectly well rounded. And that's why I know like that band slaps, because like everybody on the show loved it, even the people in the chat. And I like noisy, hardcore stuff. Devin's more into pop punk. And Mike is all about, like, I need breakdowns, bro. Breakdowns. And everybody was pleased, so I'm fucking happy with that. That's dope. But earlier in the week, on Facebook, on Twitter, I don't remember if I did it on TikTok, but whatever. It's too late to do that now. I asked everybody, as a podcast question, trying to do those more, what was the first concert you ever attended? Now, I don't care if you're a baby. I don't care if you're a grown-ass man and your first show is last week. What was the first show that you attended? And, like, I'm expecting some really cool answers, you know? Some cool answers, some unique answers. I got some unique answers. I got some that I didn't expect from some people. I also didn't realize how old some people were in the comments section and in our social media platforms. I thought everybody was like relatively like 30. But no, we got some old fucks in there. I'm going to go through some of them. They all gave me the permission to use their shit, so that's cool. And then it's going to lead up to mine, because looking at me, tattooed, bald, angry, cynical man, you would never know what my first one was. And you wouldn't believe me if I told you. It's not like I paid money for this. It was my sister's idea. But yeah, let's get into it. This should be fun. I didn't exactly know what order to do this in, so I'm going to put them in by like the order in which we received them. Homie Ben said Trans-Siberian Orchestra. I mean, that's fair. Especially when you're younger. That's a hell of a fucking first show. Same with the next one. Jay from New York says Bad Bunny back in August. Like, if you're into that kind of music, that is the fucking person you want to see as your first concert. I mean, I feel bad for your wallet. Like, wasn't that the show that was, like, way too much fucking money? Hey, I didn't pay for it, so fuck it. But that's a hell of a first show. Mark says Coldplay. A lot of these people put, like, just the name of the artist. I don't know if there was any openers, so I'm going at it face value. Coldplay. I would imagine, depending on when you saw Coldplay, because Coldplay now, Coldplay back in like 2008 to 2010, that's when you want to fucking see Coldplay. Oh my god, they were on top of the world. That's a good band though. They get clowned on a lot. Coldplay is a solid band. Mike from Bands That Slap, he said his first show ever was Fall Out Boy. Hell yeah. That makes a lot of sense, actually. I feel like Mike was in that whole scene. Like that Fueled by Ramen scene. With like them, Gym Class Heroes, and Paramore back in the day. I feel like that was Mike. Brandon from Sub Rosa says, first with my parents was Papa Roach, Memento, and Blindside. But first on my own when I was 14... and it was 18 Visions for the opener. And Coheed and Cambria co-headlined with Avenged Sevenfold during their City of Evil release tour. Dude, Brandon, that's a solid fucking show for your later on. Papa Roach can kick rocks, and I don't really know the other two bands. But 18 Visions, solid as fuck. I saw them at the Palladium. Coheed and Cambria, one of the best live shows I have ever seen. And Avenged Sevenfold, I'm not really a fan, but, like, they're big enough out there, and they put enough into their craft. I can imagine that'd be solid as hell. Bruce! Mr. Bruce Higgins! Bruce Higginbottom! He says, Mudvayne with Drowning Pool, Linkin Park, Chris Cornell, and Disturbed. That's one hell of a lineup. Mudvayne was one of the first metal bands I actually got into, and Chad Gray was what inspired me to become a metal vocalist back in the day. Very sad where he is now, because that dude is full-on Vince Neil with spooky face paint. But I still love Mudvayne. And Drowning Pool, not too bad. Linkin Park, solid band. Chris Cornell, one of the best rock vocalists of all time. That's a really good lineup, homie. Hell yeah. Josh says, Green Day, Blink 182, and Jimmy Eat World. My mom took me very young to see them and started a love affair with concerts. Love you, Mama. Depending on when this was, like Green Day, way back in the day when they were very young, very solid punk band. And Blink 182 in that same time frame, very solid punk band. Jimmy Eat World has always been good. Always. So, if this is like late Green Day and late Blink 182, but it's Josh. Josh is older than me. Josh is like 42. I'm assuming this is when they were actually good. Look at me being a fucking rock and roll elitist over here. I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry. Will Mercier, friend of the show. He says, Toby Keith at the Franklin Fairgrounds. Hey, I'm a country fan. Whether you guys know it or not, I'm a country fan. So if the young country fan TJ was to see Toby Keith for his first show, I wouldn't be mad at that at all. I wouldn't be mad at that at all. Troy says, Doja Cat. Another guilty pleasure of mine. I fucking love Doja Cat. I haven't even seen Doja Cat. You motherfucker. You got to see Doja Cat, and I don't get to see Doja Cat. Fuck you. Okay. So, every time I ask anything about live shows, my boy Rodney only been to one show. He's only been to one show ever. And it's the most random band. So every time I ask, what was your first show? What was the best show you ever went to? What's the most memorable show thing ever? He always goes, Blue October. And for those who don't know Blue October, they're the ones that did that song, Hate Me Today, Hate Me Tomorrow. That's the only song I know from them. But not many of y'all would have gotten it if I didn't say that. But, fucking Rodney. Blue October. James Park says, Ed Sheeran 10 years ago during the Plus Tour. And Passenger was the opener for him. Passenger is so fucking good. Like, hipster moment. Even before they got on the radio, Passenger had so many good songs. And Ed Sheeran, they clown on him a lot. Ed Sheeran, solid musician. Solid musician. Courtney DeSantis, I don't know who you are, though, so I'm not going to judge. But Kelly Clarkson. I don't know if that's embarrassing or not embarrassing. If you like Kelly Clarkson, fuck yeah. Hope you had a great time. TJ Blair, not TJ me. I'm coming up in a little bit. He says, this was in 2010. I went for Hollywood Undead, specifically. But the moment of the night, headliner setting part of the stage on fire with their pyro. It was Avenged Sevenfold, with Hollywood Undead, Asking Alexandria, and Black Veil Brides. See, I don't really like any of those bands, but I can definitely see the appeal and how badass that show would be. Anthony McFly, Onions himself, says, I believe it was the Grateful Dead. My mom would take me as a baby to see concerts all the time. First one I actively remember going to was Ozfest 96. I went to see Ozzy and Sepultura. Can't speak today. But that's pretty cool. That's a hell of a first show. As a baby and as somebody who can remember their first show. Levi says Def Leppard. And then Lewis says Depeche Mode back in 1986. See, this is where I was like, y'all motherfuckers is old. Nick says Kid Rock, the History of Rock Tour with the band Dope opening for them back in 2000. Looking at it now, those bands don't go together. Looking at it back in the day when Kid Rock was more of a rock person, that makes sense. That's pretty solid. And Tommy says, POD. POD gets a lot of hate, but POD is pretty fucking good. Now it's time for the moment of truth. I didn't remember the whole entire lineup, so I just had to Google it. and remember what the venue was around the time frame and as many of the people on it as I could. And you guys remember the show All That? If you're my age, of course, you remember All That. Well, they around their heydays in like 98, 99, 2000, they were doing tours around the U.S. to promote like pop acts and boy bands and all that shit. They came down to the Boston area, Boston, Massachusetts, and it was Aaron Carter, Bewitched, No Authority, Tatiana Ali, Maya, and 98 Degrees. And if you know me, and you know what I liked as a child, you would very soon realize this was not my idea. My sister wanted to see 98 Degrees and wanted to see No Authority. She was very big in the boy band scene, as everybody was in the 90s. It was my sister, her friend, and my dad had to chaperone them because they were too young. And because everybody was gone, I had to come along too. So my dad was forced to buy like fucking 4 tickets to this pop show. I'm like 7. I think it was in 98. I was 7. I had the worst ear infection of my life. And my dad, though I'm sure he meant well, did not sit as a buffer between me and 2 screaming teenage girls in a scene of screaming teenage girls. So my ears are flaring. They are oozing with fucking infection juices, whatever that was, possibly bleeding. I am crying because I am in pain. My sister and her friend are having the time of their life. It is the funniest story to tell, but like the most traumatic, painful time of my life. Holy shit. I don't wish that on everybody. If your kid has an ear infection and you're going to a concert, don't bring them. Don't bring them. Give them some snacks, tuck them into bed, and be like, I'll see you in 4 hours. Because that was a shitty thing to do, Dad. Fuck you. And now we got that out of the way. The last little bit of the show tonight. I wanted to run some ideas by you. Things that we might do, things we might not do. I've ran some of these with the other podcast people, the stream people. I'm also kind of tweaking stuff. So these aren't set in stone yet. We also have no idea when we're going to do them, but I thought they were good ideas. Every Friday, we do the stream. We do the stream on Twitch at It's Your Boy Stone G. We do Bands That Slap, me and Mike, sometimes Devin now. He's part of the crew. But Fridays are usually my only day to do anything. And as a hip-hop performer, those are also the only days that I can get shows. So I came up with an idea of like, what's something really good that can get some reaction that'll help out the Twitch stream that like won't chip away at the list, so I still have new bands to check out, but will help them. And I went through every single episode of Bands That Slap, every one of them, all like 16 of them. And all of them are like an hour and 15 minutes apiece, every one of them. And then also the original ones where it was just me in front of my computer with a green screen. I did all those too. And we came up, I think, with 12 or 13 bands that have reached the A status. So A minus, A, A plus, all of that. I compiled a list. Would you guys be down with me and Mike, Mike and Devin, just Mike, whatever the combination of people is, going through and revisiting all these bands, maybe in different songs, maybe not, and just giving reactions once again after not hearing them for a while? It'd be a long show. It'd probably be like 2 hours, 2 hours, 15 minutes, but I feel like people that are new to the scene, new to the show, new to JPF, would really enjoy checking out some bands that we thought were just chef's kiss. It would give us more content. It would give you guys some new bands to check out. Also help us with the algorithm on Twitch, because, you know, if you're longer you're streaming, the more they push you, the more people see it. Everybody wins. I thought that was a good idea. Also, for the stream, Mike had the idea a couple weeks back of checking out live videos of bands. Like Chelsea Grin or Motionless in White at Warped Tour or something. And just doing reactions based on, like, the live videos. Like, the overall feel of everything. Or just doing that as, like, a themed episode. I think that would be pretty cool. Because, hell, you look at these lineups for Warped Tour and, like, Bonnaroo and all that shit. Lollapalooza, When We Were Young. Like, you know a lot of these bands. But there's also a lot of bands you don't know. And a lot of bands you wouldn't know you liked unless you just dove into it. So, like, I'm sure Mike just means, like, the bands we know. So we can be like, ha, sick set, bro. Ha ha. But, like, if you saw a band by the name, like, Zebras, 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 is that a band you'd be like, yo, I bet they slap? Because I don't think so. But, like, what if it's, like, some weird, like, funky electronic pop punk band and they're, like, the next big thing? We would never know, and that would be awesome to check out. So whether he meant big bands or whether he just meant, like, picking random videos from Warped Tour, I don't know. Could be cool, I guess. All hypothetical. And then as far as the podcast goes, couple themed episodes. As we get closer to holidays, Halloween's already close enough. Can't do that, not enough time. But Christmas is getting closer. I want to do a Christmas episode. I want to do a tournament where we talk about the best Christmas episodes of shows or the best Christmas movies. I want to have y'all on social media vote to get the first round out of the way. And then Casey and I, or Devin and I, or just me, or however it ends up happening, goes through and we vote and we have discussions on which movie is better and why. And maybe make it like a two-episode thing until we crown what is the best Christmas movie of all time. I think that'd be really, really cool. And I also really want to do another one of those JPF podcast After Dark things. Because we did episode 69, and that was a hot mess of raunchy bullshit. But it was also one of the most fun things we've ever done. So if we can get the crew back together in some capacity and do something for another episode, I think that would be fun as fuck. So, yeah, if you're interested in that, you know, let us know on social media, JPF Podcast on Twitter and Instagram, Just Plain Filthy Podcast on YouTube and TikTok, and Facebook.com/Just Plain Filthy on Facebook. Also, you can check out our Bands That Slap playlist and upcoming news articles and all that fun stuff on our personal website, justplainfilthy.com. New episodes of the podcast every other Friday. New episodes of Bands That Slap every Friday on Twitch. Thank you guys for listening, and have a great day.